So those are two very interesting things, dementitude being in the health care bill, and all Muslims are exempt because they think insurance is gambling. Okay. Then we have another very interesting things here. I've got some things I'll just give you the headline of, okay, rather than go through them each one, where I have them all stacked up here. There we go. Then you can go online. Now, if you want to go online, look this up. Do a Google search on it. 10 things to expect from Obamacare in 2014. I'll let you do all the searching rather than go through it for you, okay? Because there are a lot of surprises that they are working up for us, okay? Also, there's a great deal more persecution against Christians. I mentioned last week that chaplains aren't able to use the name of Christ this week, and it's the schools that are doing it. See, it says Congress shall make no law, but the schools think they're greater than Congress and they make all kinds of laws. So they came up to a worldly Christian girl who was wearing a cross and told her to take it off or leave the school because it might offend someone. Well, they'll get around to us a little more. Also, the Army has just declared a Christian group a hate group, and that is the American Family Association has been designated as a hate group. So you see how the oppression is going to come. See, once they started out, because you go back into history a little bit, I've mentioned this before concerning 1893 Rome's challenge to the Protestants. And by the way, it's in the Bible in the appendix, so be sure and read it through very carefully. And you will see that what they said about the Protestants, because they don't follow the Bible, that they are going to come against them at a time you least expect. And so I think that has happened. Plus, it's also happened to them as well. So there's going to be that Christian persecution. Now here's another one that says, anti-Christian faith sentiment growing at breakneck speed. And this is from CBN, Christian Broadcasting Network. Okay. Now, what is God's answer for all of that? Well, we stand for the truth. When we have to let them know, we'll let them know what the truth is. The other answer to a lot of that is what we have in the way of church at home. We can educate everybody with the Word of God at home. Okay? And remember, if you sign up for Obamacare, you have absolutely no privacy of anything, anywhere, at any time. It is all public information, and the government can use it at their will. So there's another one here. Yes. Remember what happened in California? They declared that the boys and the girls could declare their gender identification and go into whichever restroom that they want to. Now there's coming up challenges of that because of the harassment, and surely there will be a rape. And then people are going to say, what have we done? Well, all this is part of getting rid of Christianity and getting rid of truth and getting rid of those that are against Satan's agenda. Let's just put it that way. And Satan has many helpers at many levels doing many, many things. And so these are going to come. And here is another situation that is interesting. For many Jews in the U.S., religion is not tied to belief. And so that's coming into the Christian religion as well in the world. I've got some other things I'm going to bring out about that on Church at Home, and also how they have changed the Bible with the gay Bible, so-called gay Bible, And we are getting to a point where there are more and more and more of these things coming. So sooner or later, the weight of it is going to break through. And they have successfully, nearly successfully, destroyed the family, destroyed education, destroyed the government, and it's being destroyed, making it non-workable, so that a dictator can take over if we don't have one already. Okay? And those few who are trying to do right are labeled as obstructionists and enemies of the state, and they don't know what they're talking about while they are printing money and spending us into complete oblivion. And the goal, obviously, is to do that. So what are we going to do? A man wrote me, and he said, I hope and pray that you and your family are all doing well. I certainly appreciate the things being done in the sermons. I would like to make a suggestion to do a sermon or sermons on the armor of God, expounding all the tools we need to defeat Satan. And so we're going to cover part of that today, because we are into those things today even more than ever before. So in preparation for this sermon last night, I did a channel surfing like I suggest all of you do. And of course, we're getting close to Halloween, so here comes more occultism, more demonism, and more of these things. Now, there may be some kind of formula that God works concerning Satan and the demons. Now, I don't know exactly how that goes, but let's come to Zechariah, the 13th chapter. And let's see that the more, I think we can virtually say this for true, the more that people leave God, the more that Satan is given entrance. Zechariah 13. Now let's pick it up right here in verse 1. This is talking about when God sets up the renewal of Jerusalem, preparing for them coming back out of Babylon, and then, of course, likewise when Christ returns. Verse 1, Zechariah 13. In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the people of Jerusalem to cleanse them from sin and for uncleanness. It shall be in that day, says the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall be remembered no more. Now I want you to key in on idols here. Okay? And also I will cause the lying prophets, number 2, and the unclean spirits to pass out of the land. How do we get these unclean spirits? Because there's more and more of it very obviously evident in the world. Let's come to 1 John, the 4th chapter, and let's see. We know that, number 1, it is leaving God. Number 2, then we have idolatry. Number 3, we have false prophets. 1 John, the 4th chapter. Now this brings us to some things that we need to have the understanding and discernment through the Word of God. 1 John, the 4th chapter. All right, here we go. Verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit. And yet today they are seeking more and more demonic spirits. You even have more and more programs on television depicting a thrilling, exciting thing to go into these particular things of darkness and evil and conjuring up ghosts and spirits. Okay? Now, they like to come around and be religious, but test the spirits. Now, spirits can also come, as we will see, that we have a greater challenge today than any other generation, going back, say, about 50 years plus, up to our time, we have a greater challenge of things that can come into our minds that can be transmitted to us than at any other time in history. So we need to be on guard. Whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. So what does this tell us? False prophets have what? A false spirit. How do you discern between the two? Well, just hold your place here in 1 John 4 and come back to Isaiah, the 8th chapter. It tells us. Because one of the things, especially with Halloween, and isn't it interesting that the first occult holiday of the year is what? Halloween. The celebration of death. All right, verse 19, Isaiah 8. Verse 19. When they shall say to you, this is what they're saying, preaching, practicing, putting on television, books, magazines, CDs, handheld devices. That's nothing to say about the overwhelming invasion of sex at every level. When they shall say to you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and to wizards that peep and mutter. And then they answer this way, well, should not a people seek unto their God? That's what we're trying to do, failing to realize that the god of this world is Satan the devil. Should the dead be sought on behalf of the living so we can know what went on? Now here's the dividing point. Here is the test. Always. Verse 20. To the law, that is the law of God, all of it. And to the testimony, and the testimony includes all of the prophets because the prophets gave witness or testimony and warning from God. To the law and the testimony, that also refers to the New Testament as well. Okay? Now then, that is the test. The reason is, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And so we need to understand and realize that. All right, now let's come back here to 1 John, the 4th chapter. We have virtually the same message in 1 John, the 4th chapter. And I think we are seeing the end result of what is happening to Protestantism because they have failed to heed the warnings. That's what's so important about Rome's challenge to the Protestants. They make it very, very, very clear. Isn't it something that the Protestants used to say that Rome and Catholicism is our spiritual enemy? And then, over this challenge at the World Fair, when the Protestants wanted to close the fair on Sunday, the Seventh-day Adventist sued. And that was the only known major Sabbath-keeping group at that time. And they won. So Cardinal Gibbon wrote Rome's challenge to the Protestants. And the challenge was this. If you say you go by the Bible alone, why don't you go by the Bible Sabbath? Because that is the only day that you find commanded in the entire Bible, regardless of your connivings, and furthermore, it's a Catholic day. And from that time, there has been a curve downward of Protestantism. And the beginning of that decline happened when they forced, I forget the exact year, that the Supreme Court of the United States, I think it was 1910, 1908, 1909, somewhere within a five-year period of that, declared that the United States is a Christian nation. From that point, because if they were Christian, they should have repented and begin keeping the Sabbaths of God, begin the holy days of God, begin understanding the Bible. But they did not. So what was brought upon them? Everything to remove God, step by step, incrementally from the government, from the schools, from our lives, from education and everything that we have. And they even got all books about the Bible expelled from the school. And today it's come so far that you can bring a Quran to the classroom, but you better not bring a Bible. So that's how far the deception has come. Now, when it gets down to Jesus Christ, back here, 1 John 4 and verse 2, by this test you can know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Now, that means human flesh, like our human flesh, is defined in the Bible. Now, most of them do not believe that. The general belief is a form of deocetism, which is that Jesus' spirit, as a spirit being, came from heaven and possessed, Christ, the Savior, came from heaven and possessed the man Jesus. So therefore, it was impossible for Jesus to sin, and therefore, when Jesus died, then the Christ went back to heaven. So that's the sum of the description of what it's talking about here. Okay? All right. Now he goes on saying, let's come down here. Verse 5. They are of the world. Because of this, they speak of the world, and the world listens to them. We are of God. The one who knows God listens to us. Now, how do you know God if you love him and keep his commandments? The one who is not of God does not listen to us. By this means, we know the spirit of the truth and the spirit of the deception. Now, let's see what else Satan does. Ephesians, the second chapter. Let's come there a few pages over, okay? Ephesians, the second chapter. Here's what we need to be aware of today more than ever before. And this is why we need to have our minds cleansed every day, too, by the way. Okay? Ephesians, the second chapter, verse 1. Now you were dead in trespasses and sins, because the wages of sin is death. We have a sinful nature. And everything that we do without the Spirit of God, even though it may be good on the surface, is not a thing that will bring eternal life. Verse 2, in which you walked in times past according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now working within the children of disobedience. And so, that's where we see the world today. Everything, even more and more and more, even those who profess a Christianity, 60% of the young people are living together, not being married, and are in sexual relations, yet they go to the Protestant church and they are welcome. So it has come full circle. Now notice, here's what it appeals to. Among whom also we all once had our conduct in the lust of the flesh, doing the things willed by the flesh and by the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as the rest of the world. And so God calls us out of that. All right. Now then, let's see how we need to stay steadfast with God. Not let any of these things get into us, not let any of these things come and bother us. So we have a greater fight today than they did back in the days when the church was formed. All right, let's see what it is that we are to do. Let's first of all look at the warnings. This is why, when the Protestants have said you don't need to follow the Old Testament, then they miss all the warnings, and there are a lot of them in there, but they're all based on two things. Number one, telling God what to do. Number two, forgetting what God told them to do. Both. And that's why we have the Sabbath every week, every week. What is the first word in the fourth commandment? Remember. Because it's so easy to forget. If you get wrapped up in all of these things that are part of the world, you know, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and everything that is built around the world, and what Satan has put out there for people to do, and how many of them center around all the activities on the Sabbath. Yes, indeed. Okay? Now let's come back here to Deuteronomy, the fourth chapter. Let's see what God wants. And really, in Deuteronomy, the fourth, in the book of Deuteronomy, rather, you have a lot of things that apply to the New Testament, the New Covenant, and all of that. As we're turning back there, let's remember what Peter said. Peter said, "There, as there were false teachers among Israel, there shall be false teachers among you, coming in, even denying Christ." Now, we've seen that happen, haven't we? Yes, we have. All right, here's the first key. Along with remember, it is don't forget. All right, let's pick it up here. Let's pick it up here with what Moses wrote. Let's just start in verse 1. "And now, O Israel, hearken to the statutes and to the judgments which I teach you, in order to do them, so that you may live. And go in and possess the land which the Lord your father, which the Lord gave of your fathers gave to you." Now, in reading the Old Testament, one thing I have really gathered out of it: no one tells God what to do. And whatever God says, he means, and we are to do, okay? So he says right here to counteract that, "You shall not add to the word which I commanded you, neither shall you take away from it, so that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you." Put in your notes there, 1 John 2, 3 through 6. Showing that for the new covenant, we are also to keep the commandments of God. And anyone who says they know God and doesn't keep his commandments is a liar. All right? Now, they had a personal experience that we never had. "Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor, for the Lord your God has destroyed from among you all the men that followed Baal Peor. And you who held fast to the Lord your God are alive. So remember, hold fast. Every one of you this day, behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, so that you should do so in the land where you go to possess it. And you shall keep and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear of all the statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is so great?" Now, what we need to do is think in terms of the promises of Abraham now, given to the children of Israel in these last days. And I find it quite interesting when you look at the sequence of things that happened in history. Before God gave the blessings to Ephraim and Manasseh and then the rest of the tribes in Europe as well, the first thing he did was break the yoke of the Catholic Church. And then for the descendants of Ephraim and Manasseh, he raised up William Tyndale to translate the Bible. He gave them the Bible first, so they would have the Word of God. And here is the key. Everyone who has a Bible, especially today, have had God's witness personally delivered to them in their own house. You don't have to go down to a mountain and see some display on a mountain. Okay? Because he wants it to be that we will be a righteous nation. And look what we have done to it, see? But in order to fulfill his promise, he sent his word first. Now, let's come down here to verse 9. Only take heed to yourselves. So the next thing we need to do is watch ourselves. Who has control over your mind? You do. You are to choose. Okay? You are to take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, but teach them to your children and your children's children. So that's quite a thing, isn't it? Notice all the admonitions in here. Okay? Now then, let's go on. We see a repeat of this as we come over here. All right. Let's come down here to verse 23. Again, he says the same thing. Now notice just a little different. Take heed to yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you. Now let's take that one step further into the covenant that we have made with God and God has made with us through Christ. And remember, a covenant is something that if you break, it costs your life. Take heed to yourself, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make you a graven image, a likeness of anything which the Lord your God has forbidden you. Now what comes with idols? Unclean spirits. That's why in the New Testament we are told, flee idolatry. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire. All right, let's drop down here to verse 26. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that you shall soon utterly perish off the land which you are crossing over Jordan to possess. You shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall surely be destroyed. That is, if they go against God. Now, we've also experienced that in the church. All right, now let's come over here to chapter 6. And chapter 6 is a very important chapter because this also shows us something very important concerning law. Law and commandments by themselves are an expression of love. They do not create love. Love comes from the heart. Love comes from God. That's why Jesus gave the answer, which is the first and great commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. On these two hang all the law and the prophets. It's not the other way around. So you must first love God, and then you can keep his commandments. And then that will constitute love as motivated with God's Spirit. You can't come over here and try and keep commandments without God. You end up with something like Judaism. And what did Jesus say to the Pharisees? He says, I know you. You do not have the love of God in you. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me. So let's read it here, what God says, okay? He tells them the first verses here. Verse 1, now these are the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you go to possess them. And that's after chapter 5 with the Ten Commandments. That you might fear the Lord your God to keep his statutes, his commandments which I command you, and your sons and your sons' sons all the days of your life, so that your days may be prolonged. Okay? Hear, therefore, that's another key on how to fight against Satan. Hear the word of God. Hear the admonition of God. Hear the teaching of God. Hear, therefore, Israel, be diligent to observe it. We can't take it half-heartedly. We can't take it by being cool. We can't take it by being lukewarm, so that it may be well with you, and that you may greatly multiply, as the Lord God of our fathers has promised you in the land that flows with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, our one God is the Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart. That's how they're in our heart, by loving God. All right. There are other admonitions in here about forgetting God. Let's come to the New Testament, and we will see pretty much the same thing. Let's come to Luke 6. And as we're turning there, what are the three words that define what God wants us to do? What are the three words? Obey my voice. We have the voice of God recorded here. Now let's amplify that a little bit with what Jesus was teaching beginning here in Luke 6. Okay? Luke 6. Let's pick it up beginning in verse 43. Verse 43. There is not a good tree that is producing corrupt fruit, nor is there a corrupt tree producing good fruit. Think what all of this mass demonic television and satanic television is going to produce. It's going to produce more sin, more iniquity, more murders, kidnappings, sex problems, disease, and death. Add to that drugs and everything else that goes with it, see? Can that produce something good? See, and what they're missing in all the politics and all the things that the politicians want to do, oh, do this and we'll prosper. No, return to God first and then do it. Then you'll prosper. If you don't return to God, all that you're going to try and do, it may work for a little while. But sooner or later, the burden of sin is going to destroy it and drag it down. All right, verse 44. Every tree is known by its own fruit, for they do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather a bunch of grapes from bramble. The good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth that which is good. For out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So let me just do a little sidebar here for you. Go online and look up the 20 sayings of our president about the Muslim religion, and then the 20 sayings about the Christian religion. I'll let you do the research on that. It will be astounding. Okay? Likewise with the other politicians. Another way of putting it this way is, you can never accomplish the righteousness of God with the means of satanic religion. Never work. Come down here to verse 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but do not practice what I say? That's why we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Just exactly, this is not very much different from what Moses said, right? It's identical. Everyone who comes to me and hears my word and practices them, I will show you what he is like. Now, it's very interesting. The Greek word there, poieo, means to be doing on a continuous basis which is practice. Now let's just stop and think for a minute concerning us. If, as individuals, we quit keeping the Sabbath, how long would we remember God? We'd be absorbed into the world and become like them. That's why we have Sabbath every week. That's why God says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So God says, if you practice that, if this is your way of living, he is like a man building a house who dug deep. And isn't it interesting that Jesus, he's called a carpenter, but he's more like a contractor in building buildings, because that involves stones and timber and concrete, and they had concrete back then as well, who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And a flood came, the torrent beat against the house, but could not shake it because it was founded on the rock. Now this tells us, being a Christian and following Christ is not going to be an easy proposition. Because he told us there in Matthew, the 7th chapter, that narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life, but broad is the gate that leads to destruction, and many go there. See, so when you have what is known as costless Christianity, the simple formula that the Protestants and evangelists go through today, they don't have to do anything. What does God require? He requires repentance. He requires baptism, which is a covenant of death. You bury the old self. He requires the receiving of the Holy Spirit of God. He requires walking in the way of God. He requires us to trust him through all the difficult things that come along, just like it is here. But if you are true and faithful and loving God, you're not going to be shaken from it. It was founded on the rock. Now, verse 49, but the one who has heard my words and has not practiced them is like a man who built his house on the top of the ground without a foundation, and when the torrent beat against it, it fell at once, and the ruin of that house was great. Now, let's come back here to the book of Jude. We're to remember the words of Christ. We'll see that he sent the Holy Spirit here in just a minute. But we're also to remember something else. The book of Jude, just before the book of Romans. Okay? Now, Jude wrote this epistle because there were men creeping in stealthily and were perverting the grace of God into licentiousness. So after showing all the difficulties and problems, giving examples of God's severe judgment, okay, then he tells us, verse 17, but you, beloved, remember the words that were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. That includes everything that we have in the New Testament. So we've got the Old Testament combined with the New Testament, and that constitutes the Word of God of what we are to do. And then God gives us his Spirit so that we can keep his way spiritually motivated from within. Okay, we'll see some interesting things concerning that here in just a minute. All right. Now, in doing that, Just put in your notes there. I want you to read through all of Psalm 119. Psalm 119, where it says, I do not forget, over and over again. I do not forget your law. Do not forget your statutes. Do not forget your judgments. Do not forget your commandments. I love your law. I love your commandments. I love the truth. All your commandments are truth. All your law are truth. All your precepts are true from the beginning. And that is a fantastic psalm showing that with the Spirit of God, and if we apply it with the Spirit of God, how great God's way is. See? Then add all to that, remember the words of the apostles. All right, now let's go back here to John 14. John 14, 26, because it is a spiritual thing that takes place. All right? And let's see what the Spirit of God is to do for us. John 14, verse 26. All right? John 14, verse 26. But when the Comforter comes, even the Holy Spirit, which the Father will send in my name, that one shall teach you all things and bring to your remembrance everything that I have told you. So the Holy Spirit is going to work with us to teach us. Now, I'm working on, I did a series some time back on how to use the Holy Spirit. And we're going to do a little refining with it, and then we'll make it available for everyone. It's four sermons, how to use the Holy Spirit. And that's what we need to realize that we need to do here, okay? Okay. Now, let's come over here to John 15. John 15, verse 20. Remember the word that I spoke to you. Key important thing, just what we were talking about earlier. A servant is not greater than his master in any way. And when I go down to Arcadia next week, we're going to do a special study. Let's just have a little sidebar here, so I mentioned it. Okay. Remember where Jesus said, "Do not think that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets or abolish it." Okay. The Greek negation of that is a double negation, which is this. There are two Greek words which mean no or not. The one is ouk, or shortened to ou. The other one is me. Ouk means that it is not something that shall be done or should be done. The impossibility of it. Okay? Me has the meaning, don't let this thought come into your mind. See? Don't have an idea that it's going to occur. Now, used in Matthew 5:17, it is this way. Ooh, me. So when it's used in that double emphasis, and those two words are used together, it means emphatically it is not going to be done, and don't even have an idea that it will be. Okay, here's one here. Remember the word that I said to you. That's back in John 13 with the foot washing. What did he say? The servant is not greater than his master. And the messenger is not greater than the one who sent him. Meaning, don't take my words and add to them or subtract them because you're putting yourself in God's place. Let's go ahead and take a break.